When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the warehouse rat.
Welcome to another episode of the Warehouse Rats podcast. I am one of the hosts, Josh, joined again remotely by the other host, Mr. Ricardo.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic now that I am corona-free.
Well, officially corona-free. There was a question there for a minute.
There was a question there for a little bit. Obviously, you know and I know, but our fans did not know, is that last Friday, I was under quarantine because I came into contact with a positive case. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I am negative. Now, you had kind of the same situation. Kind of. Not the same situation, but it's...
I didn't come into contact with a positive, though. However, I did come down with a fever on Sunday, which sucked. And I had let the bosses know that I had a fever. They told me, you know, you need to be symptom-free for 72 hours before you can come back to work. And then I think it was like the first day that I missed work, they had asked if I would go get a corona test. I did that that morning, and I got those results Thursday afternoon. Those were negative.
Negative.
So I am corona free.
Yeah, I was. Remember when I texted you? I said that the way when she called me, the way she said it though, it was really weird. It was like you did test negative, but the way she said it, it was just like, I don't know, for a little split second, I felt like she was gonna say you did test positive instead of you know what I'm saying? Like she should have said like your test came back negative,
right?
Or I don't know. Not the way she said it was.
She should have chosen better words.
Yeah.
I got you.
So as of. What is it? Well, when did I test negative? I think it was Wednesday.
Mm.
Yeah, Wednesday, because I was back to work Thursday. So.
Right.
No, I was actually, Wednesday.
Right on.
Yeah, so they called me on Wednesday. Let me know that I was negative. And the funny thing is, because I was talking to some other people that got tested around me, is that I got double penetrated, and you only got one penetrated.
Now, we just said something about wording things. you may want to think about how you worded that.
No, so let me clarify. So I did not know this until I was talking to some other coworkers that got tested. And so the way they did mine was it was kind of like a drive through. So they had a whole bunch of like cones and everything was set up to where you. When I first got there, there was a person that held a sign and said, "Are you? Do you have an appointment?" I just shook my head yes, and then they waved me by to the left, and I went left, and then she said, "Take out your driver license." Had a little sign that says, "Take out the driver license," and put it to the window. And then they were saying, "I think they asked. They had another sign that said, do you have any symptoms?'" Mm. I'm like, "Nah, you know, because I didn't have any symptoms, right?"
Right.
And then, so they find my paperwork, and then eventually what happened is, it took a little bit to find my paperwork, actually, because I don't know why, but for some odd reason. But once they found my paperwork, they told me to keep going forward, and I drove into a tent, and so what she did is, she said, again, she asked me, "Do you have any symptoms?" I was like, "No, I don't," you know. She's like, "What is your name?" I was just like, I told her my name, and then she's like, "What is your date of birth?" I was like, you know, August of 2020. because I was born. Not born yet.
Okay.
And and then she said lower your window. And she's like, can you put your seat back a little bit? Like, and I was like, okay. And then she gave me some tissues. And I was like,
what kind of test is this?
I know, like, I was like, what the fuck is this for? And then she proceeded to get a Q-tip out of a little thing, and she stuck it up my nose, my nostril. Mm. And then she swabbed it for a little bit, and then she proceeded to take it out and put it on the other one. And then she did that shit. Like, the first one didn't hurt too much. It just stung a little bit, but it wasn't, like, terrible.
Right.
And then the second one, my left nostril, that one did hurt a little bit more. It kind of sucked, but couldn't find out. That's not how they do it to everybody. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but they only took one of your nostrils.
Yes, they only did one side, and the thing is, mine didn't hurt. It was uncomfortable, and I think the only way you could rationalize that uncomfortable feeling is, I think it hurts. But it was one of those things. I'm sitting there as she's like sticking it up my nose, where it's like, I mean, like, what if like I had the sudden urge to sneeze? I would have shot this thing out and poked somebody's eye out, man. But I mean, it was just such an uncomfortable feeling. And then, you know, she jammed it in there and twisted around a little bit like a fucking key in a door. And then she's like, okay, we got to let it sit there for about 15 seconds. And I'm like, what? It's like, it hasn't been 15 seconds already?
Holy shit.
And so she just kind of sat there, and I'm just sitting there, you know, with my hold my nose up. And then I'm sitting there, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, my God, I can feel this thing tickling the back of my throat. And I was like, oh, this is gross.
That's kind of like the thing that I started laughing a little bit inside. Like, after she was done sobbing me, she, like, my eyes started tearing up a little bit. Like, oh, that's what the tissue's for. Right. Okay. Y'all know what you're doing.
So it would have been funny if she would have, like, thrown more and said, hey, stop your crying.
No, they're actually really cool. Like, I think that they're doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. Now, on that note, I did read an article today where it did say that the FDA, mm-hmm. For our international people, that is our Food and Drug Administration,
mm-hmm.
They did approve a kind of like a home kit. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a home kit they use saliva instead of the actual nasal passages.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's kind of one of the things that they said is that it sometimes it actually would cause a problem for the people who are doing the swabs, where people would actually kind of sneeze. And, you know, if you're infected, that kind of sucks for the people who are actually taking the test, you know.
So, oh, yeah.
So what are we drinking today, sir? What are you drinking today?
All right, well,
I know you told me it was just going to be water, but
I originally was just going to drink water, because honestly, the fact that I didn't work I didn't work until today, I drank a lot during the week, and I normally don't drink that much during the week.
Right.
And so I was like, man, I don't know if I can take anymore. And I was like, nah, I think I want some alcohol. So I only have a few things in the house, and none of them are first choice. So this is a combination of orange and watermelon liqueur with orange bitters, because it is too hella sweet. But then I put it in a blender and I made it into a slushie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's treating me okay.
Yeah, nice. That's the second time I hear you say hella. That's kind of like a Californian thing.
Hella?
Yeah.
Is it? I'm not from California.
I know, but it's kind of weird. Have you been talking to your sister? Hello.
No. No. Be done. Anyway, what are you drinking?
I totally forgot to pick something up, but I already had some vodka. I still had some vodka, and then I had some half and half, and I was like, and then some coffee, obviously. So, you know what? Let's go with my White Russian today. My stomach wasn't feeling that good either. Something hit me. I think it was the fried chicken I had this morning. yeah, that shit hit me hard. I don't know what it was, but
I got you.
Like, from the get, like from all day, like my stomach was like, you shouldn't eat this.
No. Don't you hate stuff like that?
It's really weird how you know yourself. Like, I guess after 32 years of eating, I kind of know myself fairly well.
Mm. Oh, but yeah, goodness.
It does a job.
I got you.
Just keto, kind of. So, no, I think for the most part it's keto.
I actually recently got some, my wife bought some keto-friendly coffee. I should bring some to you, see what you think about it.
What does it have?
I don't know.
Oh.
She handled that side, and it kind of looks like hot chocolate, like when you add the water to it, it kind of looks like hot chocolate, and okay. I was like, okay, but you know, according to all the health defects and shit like that, it's supposed to be super keto friendly.
Because typically, keto is like, or coffee in itself is very low carb. No, that's just by itself. You know what I mean? Like if you add milk or any type of creamer, especially if it's like a super sweet creamer, Irish cream,
right?
like Irish cream or something else. It's right. You know, which is super sweet. It'll get out of ketosis.
Speaking of coffee, my order from Sand Hill Coffee showed up last week. I got the Dark Side of the Loom espresso beans.
Okay.
Oh my god, it's good. It is so good. And
I don't care.
One thing I realized about that coffee, that in the bag before you grind up the beans, it smells really good, but then as soon as you grind those beans up, it smells completely different, and it smells 10 times better. It's oh my god. So
is it really dark though, or is it?
I expected it to be darker.
Okay.
It tastes darker. It does.
Okay, that's racist.
No. You know how dark coffee has a particular taste, yes?
Yeah, it's you, like almost
you can recognize dark coffee by how it tastes.
Yeah.
This coffee, even though it appears to be lighter, not super light, but definitely lighter than what it tastes like. It tastes like a dark coffee.
Right. Even though one thing that I forgot to ask Phil, who was our guest last week, is what he felt about pre grinding coffee. You know what I mean? Like the coffee is pretty much already ready to put in the coffee pot.
I think we did talk about that.
No, we talked about the K cups.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I don't specifically Phil, if you're listening to this, I did throw away those K-cups. I forgot to take a picture, but they were just there. Like, I really had like three of them in there still, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm not drinking these, and you know, it's time to get rid of these.
Right.
But yeah.
But while we're talking about a Sand Hill Coffee, go ahead and hit up sandhillcoffee.com, and when you check out, be sure to use promo code Warehouse Rats. Let them know that we sent you there. And if you do like coffee, go ahead and over there and buy a bag of coffee and enjoy it, because it's super good, and help a small business out during these hard times.
Yes, sir. And if you're an international listener, if you buy coffee from Sand Hill, we'll try, if possible, to send you some Warehouse merchandise.
Ooh.
Warehouse Rats merchandise on my dime.
Oh,
yeah. Look at you. If possible. Because I'm not going to try to spend, you know, $1,000 for a freaking hat either. But, you know.
Hey, no, I got you.
But, yeah. So, Sand Hill Coffee?
SandHillCoffee.com.
Promotion code Warehouse Rats.
Mm-hmm.
20% off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, let's dive into some... Nerd Talk. What you got for Nerd Talk today?
All right. So, because was it Monday? Monday was the 4th, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So,
I don't know if it was the. Was it the? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was. Anyway, May 4th was this past week, And that is known to the Star Wars community as Star Wars Day. Now, as a slight disclaimer, that day was before Star Wars Day, known as my father's birthday. So, happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.
I already said it, but I'm going to say it again. But anyway, back to Star Wars Day. So, a couple of things. Rise of Skywalker is officially on Disney Plus. And since I wasn't feeling well, I woke up at like 4 in the morning and I was slept terribly. Anyways, I was like, you know what? I'll watch Rise of Skywalker. So that was amazing. Now, for the past few weeks, month and a half, 2 months, they have been releasing the last season of Star Wars Clone Wars, the animated series. This would be season 7. Where they wanted to answer a lot of these open-ended questions about particular characters and stuff like that. Now, a side note before I get into what I want to talk to is in Star Wars Episode 3, we're talking movies here now, Ricardo.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
At a time in this movie, there was a big old galactic civil war going on, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Galactic Republic had designed clone troopers. Okay, so they had millions of these troopers. It's basically all the same guy. Some of them have slight different personalities, but they all look the same.
Right.
These are the clones. These clones were genetically modified and had implanted these things in their brain. So when they heard a particular order given, what these clones would do would then turn on their Jedi partners and kill all the Jedis.
Damn.
That was their main point, to like be alive. So as soon as this order would go out, that all chaos would break out. So now in Episode 3 in the Star Wars films, you see this order given. It's very dramatic and very drawn out, stuff like that. But they keep it very focalized. Like they show you what they want to show you. But the thing is, knowing what happens in other aspects, in other parts of the galaxy, have only started to be explained recently. One of the first times that I saw it was playing Jedi Fallen Order. It was the most recent Star Wars game where the character you play as in the game is a Jedi. And one of his memory flashbacks that you get to play through is going through this order that's called Order 66.
Okay.
And basically you have this kid who then is attacked by military personnel. And then his master shows up to try to protect him. I mean, it was very gripping and very emotional. And it was really crazy. So that was one example of Order 66. Now, another example that was talked about or shown recently that I'm drawing my talking point to is in the Clone Wars series. Now, what this series did more successfully than
I don't mean to interrupt you. So, yeah. So when that came out, you said it wasn't really explained until now. When did it come out?
Well, Episode 3 explained, or you got the understanding of what Order 66 was.
Okay.
Because as soon as the Emperor, or the now self-appointed Emperor, gave the order to the commanding officers of the Clone Wars, he said, execute Order 66. And as soon as he said that, a switch was flipped in all the clone troopers that are alive. And that switch was the Jedi who were generals, a part of this army, and some of them close friends, are now the number one enemy. Okay. So this point in the Episode 3, it was a very emotional scene where all these people were getting attacked that they fought side by side with. Now, the thing is with Clone Wars, they drove that aspect home even harder. Because there was a run of episodes leading up to the series finale. You were following Ahsoka Tano, who used to be a Jedi, left, but then came back as a private citizen because people on Mandalore needed help. So she decided to go help them, which I think will tie into why she's in season two of Mandalorian. We'll get to that later. But so in this last episode, or it's the last two episodes, she has been traveling and fighting with a clone captain. What's his name? Rex. No. Shit. Rex. Okay. Man. Yes. Okay. His name is Rex. Sorry. I was about to beat myself up if I forgot his name. So these two have been basically partners in a sense,
right?
Since they introduced Ahsoka's character from in like the very beginning. So they've been together through thick and thin, everything. So they're still fighting together, and they get to a point where they're on the same ship and they're transporting a. Okay, right now for anybody who is a Star Wars fan, if you haven't seen it, spoilers are happening.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
This is your only warning. Back to it. They're transporting a dangerous fugitive back to the main capital planet, where Rex goes into another room and he gets a holographic message from the Emperor. And it's the Emperor saying, execute Order 66.
Ooh.
So now the first time a show and a movie are directly connected and happening at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So then this door opens and you can see Rex. He's like his hands are shaking and he's like freaking out because he knows his next order of business is to kill Ahsoka.
Wow.
And so he turns around and sure enough pulls out guns and he starts shooting at her. And she's really cool because she has double lightsabers. Like she has two lightsabers that she uses. Yeah. And so she's sitting there and she's surrounded by clones and she's just deflecting it like crazy and trying not to go into crazy detail, but she ends up finding a recording that leads her to the knowledge that Rex has the implant that's controlling his actions. Okay. She is able then to get rid of it. So it's those two against a whole cruiser's worth of clone troopers. So there's all kinds of action that's happening, and it's
she was able to kind of convince them, or not convince them, but kind of let them know, like, hey, it's not you, it's that order, or
well,
how does that work?
The cool thing is, even though he knew he physically couldn't stop what he was doing, he mentally knew what he was doing was wrong.
Okay.
And he told her, find Fives. Now, Fives is another clone trooper who, in a few series before, he had come to the conclusion that they had an implant in their brain for some unknown purpose.
Right.
There was no record of what this implant would do, and people just ignored it. Come to find out, this implant was for Order 66.
Oh, wow.
And so she found that, she realized what it was, kidnapped Rex, got rid of his implant, and now he and she are on a team.
That's funny.
So there's all kinds of action going on, and it's super cool. There's another captain that's there that you've grown to know over the years and stuff like that. So him fighting them, that's a real emotional thing. You get to the end of the episode. Ahsoka and Rex are standing in in front of this crashed ship where they have taken the time to find whatever fallen clones they could find, and they buried them. And they had their clone helmets on these sticks because a lot of the troopers decorated their helmets. So they kind of had their individuality based off their helmets or their armor. Okay. And so you could tell who was who. And so that right there was really cool. Even though they tried to kill him, they still respected them and said, you know, they weren't in control of this. Uh-huh. And so, and then she's holding her lightsabers and she drops them. Just kind of that last sign of, I'm done with the Jedi. I'm not doing this anymore.
Ooh.
And then she leaves. And so I thought that was it. And I'm like, okay. And so the screen fades to black, but then the screen fades back open to the same planet. Without any indication that there's a time jump, all of a sudden you're seeing stormtroopers, which are known for being more quote-unquote current. They're not clones, because as soon as the Clone Wars were over, they just got rid of the clones.
Are those guys in the white?
Yep. Okay. And so these guys are searching around the same planet. And then you come across the stacked helmets, but now you can tell it's been time because helmets are kind of worn down and broken down. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, you hear the iconic breathing of Darth Vader.
Oh, okay.
Now, a little cooler than that, but yeah, for sake, sure. Well, yeah, sure, let's say that. But he's there. Now, if you are unaware, Darth Vader, before he became Darth Vader, was Anakin Skywalker. Mm. Anakin Skywalker was the master of Ahsoka Tano.
Oh. Okay.
Now, he gets there, and he looks down and sees one of her lightsabers. He picks it up, he turns it on, shuts it off, and then walks off. And then it's over.
What the hell?
It's very symbolic, because up until then, he had no reason to believe any connection to his previous life was still alive.
Oh, okay.
And the fact that he found her lightsaber at a crash site led him to believe everything in my past that Anakin Skywalker was attached to is gone.
Right.
So
it's kind of like a cliffhanger then.
Kind of, but more of a confirmation that, you know what, maybe I am supposed to be a bad guy.
Oh, okay.
And for some reason, at the end of that episode, man, I was in a bad spot. I was just like, holy fuck. And I wasn't crying. My eyes were definitely they were there. Watery. They were getting there. If it had gone any longer, I would have dropped a tear or two. But man, oh man.
So was that the end of the episode where he?
Yep,
he
that was the
lightsaber.
That was the end of the episode and end of the series.
Now, do you think that's your own? Somebody else will interpret it a little bit differently, though. Like, what that really meant, or is that just kind of like
from what I have gathered, that I think a part of it is, that is a opinion on my side, but at the same time, looking into what other people have thought, that right. seems to be a reoccurring opinion.
Okay.
So it's
a very thought out and researched opinion based on your knowledge of the whole Star Wars saga.
Yes.
Okay.
And like the last, I think it was like 3 or 4 episodes were all like to be continued episodes. And so they just kept going and building. And like, I was just like, man, oh man. I was like, they can't top the last one. And they did. And they just kept going and going and going. It was something else, dude.
Right. But, well, that's a good part of Nerd Talk now. Appreciate that.
Hey, no problem.
How about you step into my nerd corner?
Excuse me?
Now, I don't know if you know this, but this podcast is it's enlightened me with a lot of stuff, and I think that I don't want to get too emotional, but it's our baby, you know? I've done things that I don't want to do.
Oh.
For the podcast.
Okay.
In hopes that it can make me a better person. So let's step into my nerd corner. Let's talk about on Monday, May 4th, Ricardo, aka Big Dick. Wait, no, that never.
Little Richard.
Little Richard. Saw a movie. I can't remember the name of the movie right now, but it was Episode 4. episode 4.
Yeah?
Of Star Wars.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Yup. What was it called? I think it was...
New Hope.
New Hope. Was it New Hope? Okay.
Yep.
So, I started specifically with this episode because, based on my research, it said that this is the first one you should watch.
Yes.
Now, right off the grip, like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, okay. I already knew I wasn't going to like it because why would you start with episode 4? I mean, can you go into why it's episode 4? Instead of, I mean, I don't know how to count very well, very good, but I think we start with 4.
if I remember correctly, when it first came out, like originally came out in the 70s, it wasn't even episode 4. It was just Star Wars. It wasn't even A New Hope yet. It was just Star Wars. Okay. I don't remember exactly when they started giving them the numbers. But for some reason, they started 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. Because that's my next one. 5.
Yep. Now, that worked out in the long run because then that left the ability to do backstory movies 1, 2, and 3, and then continuing stories 7, 8, and 9.
Okay.
Why they did that, I honestly have no idea. That was just something that just weirdly ended up happening.
Right.
So
let me give you my first impression of this movie. Right?
Okay.
Like I said, I had a bad experience with Star Wars just because I know there's like a little backstory to this, is that growing up and then before cable, right? On Fox, there was Star Trek. Now, I know it's not the same thing, but my little mind ties Star Trek and Star Wars together, right? And on Saturday afternoons, there was literally nothing to watch. Star Trek was on, and I'm just like, bro, this is the stupidest show. There's a guy with a fucking fucked up head, and that was a black guy, and then there was some other characters, the sci-fi characters. I'm just like, no, this doesn't make any sense. I never watched it. I'd rather just turn off the TV and go to sleep.
I got you.
Anyways, so my first impression of the when it starts out, like, I was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited to watch this episode just because I'm like, man, I want to see what this is all about. Like, there's such a big hype around it. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to see. And I'm not gonna lie. Like, overall, let me just give you an overall rating.
Okay.
I'd probably give it like a D plus.
A D plus?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a little harsh.
D as for, you know, dope. I mean,
darn good. Darn tootin'. No. But the first impression, once I started watching the movie, there was already way too much reading that I had to do because it starts off with a little, you know, like the backstory of like how this shit all happened. And I'm just like, okay. What the fuck is this? Like, I don't want to read all this shit. Like, and halfway through, I lost a little bit of like, oh, man, I don't want to read this shit. So, you know, eventually it starts, you know, with the movie. Right. And I think it's pretty cool. Like, it started off really weird because, like, I one of the notes that I took, or one of the things that I wrote down, it says, I like the futuristic day slave trade. So when they first, yeah, it was really weird because it was like when they first, like, the first little robot?
The droids?
Yeah, the droids.
Yeah.
And the first one breaks down and shit. I'm just like, that's kind of funny. I thought it was, that's kind of cute. I didn't like how, now granted, I know, like, I was trying to keep in the back of my mind that this was made like a long time ago. So like, obviously the effects wasn't going to be like top notch or whatnot. But the way the yellow robot, the way he walks, mm-hmm. I don't like how he walks. The tall one.
Why?
It's just like
he's a robot.
But he has no movement in his freaking legs. Like, he can bend them a little bit. It's just the
you
way
do,
he's walking.
You do realize there's a person in there, right?
Well,
like that. Like, that's not a legit robot.
Oh, okay.
But like, the thing is, like, his movement, it's supposed to be robotic. You know, he's not going to walk like a person. But also at the same time, they wanted one of the best things to come out of Star Wars, especially for the 70s, was the use of practical special effects.
Oh, okay.
Everything you saw in its own way is real. Like, okay. They explain more of that. Like, did you watch the whole thing?
I probably lost, like, after...
Fucking hell, Ricardo.
I pretty much didn't watch the ending of it. I'm not gonna lie, I lost kind of like, oh, this is way too much. Okay. But I think after they escaped, I think after they escaped and they were going through the whole shooting,
mm-hmm.
I kind of lost a little bit of,
right,
you know, interest on that.
With the exception of the actual lasers,
right?
A lot of the stuff you see in its own way is real.
Okay.
Like, backdrops are painted backdrops, and then they piece like a still image in the live video together. So, right. So they're laying on top of each other. The ships are all models that they would piece together in different layers, so they look like they're flying together. I mean, so they genuinely changed how movies used practical effects.
Oh, okay.
So especially like with the droids, like the two main droids, C-3PO, the actor who does the voice for him, he wore, and every movie he's been in, he's the right. only character with the, was he in Han Solo? I think with the, no, I can't remember. Fuck. I think with the exception of the Han Solo movie, C-3PO and R2-D2 are in every single Star Wars movie.
Okay.
And the guy who plays C-3PO played him in every single movie.
Now, does he make a special voice for that or no?
It's close to the actor's regular voice, but he gives it a sharper sound. So again, he gives it a more robotic kind of a feel. It sounds like him, but it feels robotic.
Now, why doesn't the other droid? Why doesn't he speak? Why can the just, yellow one only? Why is he the only one that can understand him? Pretty
well,
much.
Well, see, I hate the fact that I know this. R2-D2 is an astromech droid. He's basically a maintenance droid. His sole purpose is technical work. He doesn't need to be able to speak. C-3PO, the gold one, he is a communicator droid. His sole purpose is to communicate. So he has to speak. He has to be able to talk in any dialect that he comes across. But the thing that always cracks me up is how everybody can understand both, but they don't give R2-D2 subtitles. And they never do, which I think is hilarious.
That's funny.
But yeah, so it see Star Wars is one of those things where I have yet to meet somebody our age, if they haven't gotten into it as a kid, they either have a super hard time getting into it as an adult or they don't.
So what you're trying to tell me is there's not a lot of hope for me.
With the original ones, probably not. I would still suggest watching them.
Okay.
And something that's a little unfair to moviegoers, even though New Hope is the original Star Wars,
right?
It was directed by George Lucas. Nothing against George Lucas. He has great vision. He has a great mind for building stories and worlds and stuff like that. He's not a great director.
Wow.
he doesn't get the best out of the people he gets to work with.
That's funny.
Like the next one that you would watch, Empire Strikes Back,
right?
It has an entirely different feel because it's a different director.
Okay.
And they had a bigger budget. They were able to enhance their special effects. They paid their actors more, and they were directed better. So then they got a better performance out of them.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think, like I said, like watching this whole movie, I still try to keep a, like I said, in the back of my mind, I was trying to keep a open mind about it, knowing that it was made such a long time ago. The one thing that I remember a little bit in particular, and I don't know how true this is, but I was just like, when the stormtroopers are trying to get trying to get them,
right?
They do shoot a lot of freaking a lot of times, and a lot of times they miss. Now, is that what you mean when watching Mandalorian
they're terrible shots?
Yeah.
That is a joke that has run through Star Wars for forever.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, they always make fun of how the clone troopers were way better soldiers than the stormtroopers. There are two different theories with that. One of them being much more. Okay. Anyway, first theory is that the clones were bred from a warrior DNA. Okay. So they were genetically modified to be warriors, which put them in a position to be better fighters. Whereas the stormtroopers were enlisted individuals. They were taken from birth and basically brainwashed to attempt to be good soldiers. Now that's a technical reason. A practical reason is I have a stormtrooper helmet.
Right.
If you put it on, you can't see shit out of this thing. No wonder they couldn't hit anything, because the fucking vision is like up high and you lose all peripherals. They're just gone. And it's like, honestly, I kind of feel bad. And another thing, the clone troopers, you know how in Mandalorian, his helmet has a what's called a T-visor?
Right.
It goes through here and down, so you have all that peripheral vision, okay? Right. And the Phase 1 clone troopers had something almost identical to that. It was a little skinnier. Then Phase 2 stormtroopers or clone troopers had one, but there was a little more condensed. Mm-hmm. And then Phase 3 had one that were the closest to stormtroopers before stormtroopers, but still had that T visor going on.
Right.
So vision was still good. So then once they got rid of the clones, they got rid of the T visor, thinking we wouldn't need it because there isn't any issue with that. But then of course now the stormtroopers can't hit anything.
It reminds me of I was watching over my quarantine, I was watching a lot of movies, but one of them was Jenga. Was it called Jenga with Jamie Foxx?
Django,
there you go. Django.
Yeah,
so remember that the first people that they kill, the first farm that they go, and they, the dude spots up, the dude, Jamie Foxx, he kills three of the white guys. And then the owner of the farm, like, they go to try to get them back, like, at the end of the night, or the middle of the night, they try to go, and they're all on horses. And they got their white mask on, and they can't fucking see. Like, right. I can't see a goddamn thing with this mask on. Like, and then they're blaming one of the guys whose wife made all the masks. And you're like, well, damn.
Oh my god.
Well, this is the last time I tell my wife to make masks. Yeah, it was that's funny. But back to the movie. Yes. From what I've seen on Darth Vader is that he wasn't at this point in the movie, he isn't the big shot. I mean, he's not like the big guy on campus just yet. The bad guy. I mean, he is a bad guy, but he's not like the fucking like the leader. Because I saw that he was talking to like a I'd almost say like his, I don't know, what would you call him? Like his fucking
you. the two baddies of the Empire is the Emperor, who is Darth Sidious.
Okay.
And his number two, who is Darth Vader.
Okay.
The other main bad guy in that movie is Grand Moff Tarkin. He is
Where do you keep all these facts?
Dude, you have no idea how much shit I got in my head that I don't need. But he in sense of military, he was like the highest general you could get. So Vader didn't answer to him, but the fact that he was at a level that he was, Vader wasn't just gonna off him like he like in Empire Strikes Back. I think he chokes out like two different people, and they're officers. He doesn't give a shit. He's like, you pissed me off, now I'm gonna kill you, and he just does it.
Because he does start choking one of the officers, and the one of the officers like let him go. Like it's kind of one of those. That's why I got the sense that he wasn't like the big shot just yet. Anyways,
well, I think a part of that was when they made that first movie. I don't think they had any idea how successful it was going to be.
Okay.
So I wouldn't have been surprised if that's where their mindset was when they did that first movie, right, before they expanded the story to include the Emperor and stuff like that. Right. He probably was more of the boss, and Vader was just kind of the grunt or the muscle. but even then, that's a whole aspect of the Star Wars story that had evolved, and especially with the addition of episodes 1, 2, and 3, where you get to see Darth Vader, aka Anakin Skywalker, go from being a little kid to an adult to bad guy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a pretty extreme change, but. See, the thing is, in the comic books or regular novels and stuff like that, Vader is like feared. Like people see him and they're terrified, which growing up, other than seeing some comic books where that, I kind of got the idea of that would be the case. But again, as a kid, I wasn't huge into comic books. So the ones that I did read, there wasn't much of it. Honestly, the first real movie or visual example of Vader being a badass was in Rogue One. And he doesn't show up, at least this particular scene isn't, until like right before the end.
Oh, wow.
And there's this scene where all these good guys are clamoring because they just got the plans to the Death Star, and they're all trying to get out of a bad situation, and they're all stuck in this hallway in one of their ships, and the lights go out, and they all get quiet and turn around, and then you hear that Darth Vader breather going, and then his red lightsaber turns on. They all start shooting him, and he's just deflecting them, and then he's like using the force to like choke people out, throw them against walls, and like there's one guy where he uses the force, he picks him up, slams him against the ceiling, but then he keeps him there and then uses his lightsaber to like cut him in half.
Wow.
It's like, I remember sitting in the theater like, holy fuck, I'm like, this is why people are terrified of him. Like, finally, something to back his shit up. And it just, oh my God. It was amazing.
I will say that Princess, what's her name, Layla?
Leia.
Leia, okay.
You close. Show her some respect.
Yes, sir. she does look pretty good. I'm not going to lie. She does look pretty cute.
She gets better.
To what?
Apparently, you've never seen Return of the Jedi.
No, I haven't. She gets better, you said? Oh, dead lack. Other notes to that, other mental notes that I have. Now, one thing I did really like that got me actually kind of glued a little bit to the actual movie is when they first, what does he say? What Darth Vader says, like, I feel this sensation that I haven't felt before. And he was talking about Obi Kenobi. What was it?
Obi Kenobi?
Obi Kenobi.
Oh fuck!
See, this one can't be a nerd because I can't remember her name.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, you know what I mean. which wasn't even his real name. It was what was it?
No, that is his real name. He was using the alias Ben Kenobi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. He's like, well, he said I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, I kind of like that part where he. I think he did give me like little like. I was kind of intensely watching like what's going to happen when, because he says I haven't felt this in a really long time, and the only time the only time that I felt it is when Obi Kenobi
in the presence of my old master Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. I was like, okay, I like that.
See, thinking back to that, especially after watching the prequel movies, episodes 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. Those three episodes are Obi-Wan Kenobi's and Anakin/Darth Vader's relationship as friends. You know, they went from being, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, super young, took him on as an apprentice and trained him. And then they were knights at basically a same level. And episode 3 ends in this huge fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it's probably one of the most stylized lightsaber fights in Star Wars ever. And it's so, it in a way, it's over the top. But by that point in time in the movie, you're just kind of so... holy crap, how can they do any more? And then sure enough, they bust out this insane lightsaber fight between these, like you have this fight going on between them, but at the same time, you have a fight between Yoda and Darth Sidious. So at the same time, you have two powerhouse fights going on, and they keep switching back and forth. It's crazy. Oh man, it's such a great piece of film. Now, so good.
Does Obi Kenobi, does he come back? Because I didn't know, the thing that I didn't understand is when he goes to hit, does he kill him?
In this one? Yeah.
In this episode, that he kills him then?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I didn't like that too much because I don't understand like the way they made it. It just like it lost me as far like it looked like he just disappeared, not killed.
That is a special Jedi thing because Jedi's use the Force and everything like that, and the Jedi had found a way to exist in the Force after death. Now, in Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan Kenobi comes back basically as a ghost or an apparition in a sense.
Kind of like Simba's dad.
Right. You watched Big Bang, right?
Yeah.
There's a guy who comes as a Jedi ghost after he dies.
Yeah.
That essentially the same premise. So, I mean, that's where they got the idea. Sorry, okay. So Obi-Wan is played by Sir Alec Guinness in those three movies, and he came back for all three.
Oh, okay.
So he's in them. And that's a cool thing. But the whole ghost thing, they don't explain that in the movies. They explain that in the animated series and how that's possible, but they don't explain it in the movies, which is one thing I always found to be frustrating.
Yeah, so that part was kind of a little confusing to me. Like, did he kill him or he just disappeared? Did he come back? Or I wasn't given an explanation. So
yeah. No. Well, the funny thing is Obi-Wan says a line to him during that fight. He says, "If you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine." Essentially, what he's telling him is, right now, I only have access to the force of what my body will allow me to. If you destroy this body, I will become one with the force. Mm-hmm. I will essentially become the force. So I will become nothing but power.
Wow.
So it's, there are things like that, especially watching for it at the first time. It doesn't make a lot of sense, right. and it doesn't have an impact. But me sitting here, knowing what you're watching, but then having all this knowledge of, excuse me, the before story, the after story, the middle stories, and them all, how they work together. And I'm just like, right. Dude, how can you not? Come on. You know? It just, so.
The last part that I do want to talk about on that end, let's talk about Chewbacca, okay? So Chewbacca, he wasn't my particular favorite character. He has a little annoying little, and it kind of annoys me, to be honest. But I mean, I guess I can see how people love him and stuff. But I just,
you do realize he's an alien, right?
Look,
that's how his species talks.
It's just kind of annoying to me. I don't know why. It annoyed me a little bit, to be honest.
As a kid, I never expected Chewbacca to be the cause of so many tears for me when it comes to Star Wars. Because let me tell you, Rise of Skywalker, spoiler alert if nobody's seen it.
Is that the last one that just came
yes.
out?
Yes. When Chewbacca finds out that Leia has passed away, he breaks down. And, like, he does what I assume is the equivalent of crying for a Wookiee. And let me tell you, man, it messed me up. I was like, oh, Chewie, don't cry. It's okay. But it's, it ruined me, man.
So who was the guy that was with him? Like, who's his friend?
Han Solo.
Oh, that's Han Solo.
Yep, okay, Harrison Ford.
I guess I missed that part. You know.
How do you miss that part?
I don't know. I was thinking of, like, I was wondering who he was.
They're kind of always together.
I'm not a Star Wars fan. I'm more of a Star Trek, you know.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. No, but overall, I would give this movie, I said, D+, on a 1 to 10.
Wait, you gave it a D+ on a 1 to 10 scale? No, I don't think that's how that works.
No. I'd like to give it a score on a 1 to 10 to give a better perspective.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it like 6.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm bad at grading too, so like I said, the last part is what got me, is the fact that it was maybe a little too much for me.
Okay.
So after they take off on the airplane or whatever the fuck it is,
the airplane,
it became a little too much where I'm just like, I don't know, too much shooting and
Are you talking about the Millennium Falcon?
The what?
Did you just seriously refer the fucking Millennium Falcon to a fucking airplane?
I might have. No, but real talk though, one thing that I do say is that when they were first going into that big ass, like the whole, when they were trying to rescue Princess Leia, it was actually pretty cool. I kind of like the effects, thinking back. Like, I do appreciate that, you know, especially like back in the day.
Yeah.
It's pretty good effects. I mean, it just gave me a different, it made it to where it looks super real, to be honest.
Well, so. And that's one of the best things about it is, like, and in a sense it is, because like the Millennium Falcon flying into the hangar of the Death Star was a real shot. I mean, they had a model, and they built a hangar bay for that model to come into, and they would bring it in on a stick, and then they'd land it. I mean, so with a little bit of editing to take out, you know, props that assisted the ships and stuff like that, you're seeing real things. You know, unlike special effects today, where everything is they created a 3D model in a program, and then they just modified that and added it to a fake background, you know.
Right.
That's an oversimplification of special effects now, but even so, you know it's fake. It looks enough to where you know for sure this is fake, but there are certain shots in Star Wars where you're looking at it and you know, you're like, okay, that's real. That isn't fake. I mean, yes, it's fake, but what you're looking at, that's a real thing. That's something that if you were there, you could touch it because it's physically there.
Yeah, I guess I could see how people can see it as a, especially like a last, a very special thing, just because, like you said, nowadays you have the, I'm assuming, like you said, it's oversimplified, but you have your special props and you have your green screen probably, and you know, it's not the same as how it used to be, I guess. Right. You know, so it takes a little bit of the element away, so yeah. The special effect, I guess.
Well, like when the when episode 1 came out, I was super excited because this would be other than the originals that had been re-released into the theater, this would be the first new Star Wars that I got to see in the theater.
Right.
I was super excited. Seeing it in the theater was great, but something that I walked away from feeling was there was something missing. There was an essence missing, and it was that essence of things being real. Because granted, at this point in time, George Lucas had all kinds of money. He could do whatever special effects he wanted, and that's what he did. He used all kinds of green screen and fake props, and right. You know, the use of practical effects for episodes 1, 2, and 3 went down drastically.
Oh, okay,
and it was noticed hard. Especially in episode 2. Episode 2 was basically just one giant green screen. It was bad. And it was,
it's kind of like watching Power Rangers First Generation versus like Power Rangers like Space Force or something, you know.
Yes, right. Exactly.
If you kind of look at some of the special effects on Power Rangers, like back in the 90s, like it was hideous. It wasn't. Thinking back now, though, it's kind of funny just to think about like how they actually did a lot of stupid shit. But like the monsters, I'm pretty sure it was something else.
But even so, they used with what they had, and they used practical effects.
Right.
And as kids, like especially when the monster would grow, they'd get their Megatron or whatever the fuck it was, and they would fight in the city, but it was basically just two guys in a giant mascot suit but as a kid, you're like, "Man,
right.
This is awesome." But then at some point as a kid watching this, I'm like, "Man, this city must be super rich because they have to be replacing their buildings all the time." And it's just like, but it, again, practical effects. They do so much more than people give them credit for.
I was actually watching it's on my Facebook for some reason. It keeps popping. Oh, I know why it keeps popping up. Cause I follow this, you remember that chick, Christy, what's her name? Kim Possible.
Yeah.
So, she's on, for some, I started following her. She's been posting a lot lately. So she has a little segment where she has different people that go on her little, I guess, video podcast in a sense. And they watch different episodes sometimes, or they cook or whatever. So one of these episodes, she actually had the Black Ranger on there.
Nice.
kind of talking about how, like, they, I think they, I can't remember what they're watching, but they had like a reaction video to a certain episode. Maybe it was the Power Rangers, maybe, or the actual Kim Possible, or even Steve's. I can't remember exactly, but it was very interesting. And I will say, though, that she's still freaking hot, though. I don't know what it is about her, but I don't know. She's a mom, and she's like
moms can't be hot.
Okay. I take that back. I know she's older than us for sure.
Well, yeah.
Let's just say she's still freaking hot. So. Speaking about attraction, let me ask you this, and I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but there was somebody that pointed out a good question. Is like they said, can you verbally say without too much of a hesitation? Not always say hesitation, but without too much of a problem, can you say that a guy is attractive?
Like, can I admit it to myself, or can I admit it out loud?
Out loud.
It depends on the guy.
How? Can you explain a little bit?
That's interesting.
I'm just afraid now.
No. It's. There are particular attributes that I think are considered classically attractive. Okay. I'm using the quotation marks because, and I think, at least for me, I can recognize that in other guys, so I automatically assume that guy is attractive.
Okay.
Now, when you say, you know, saying that, I can also say a man like Sean Connery is a gorgeous individual.
Right.
And I'll admit that till the day I die. And he's older than dirt now. But right. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Is that Obi Kenobi? No, please indulge me.
Of who Sean Connery is?
Yes, who is he?
Fuck's sake, Ricardo.
I don't know. I told you I'm horrible with the actor's names or singer's names.
Sean Connery, James Bond. He was the original James Bond.
Yes. Okay.
Funny enough, he had to have a hairpiece while he did James Bond.
Oh, really? Wow.
He lost his hair young. But, God, he's so cool. I could listen to that dude talk 4 hours.
I think I'll say he's so sexy.
His voice makes him sexy. Doesn't, I don't care. You see, everybody says he has a Scottish accent, and there are only times where I've kind of heard it, and it's like, it doesn't really sound Scottish, but there's just a sound that his voice has. He's got this Sean Connery sound that I'm just like, you're beautiful, man.
But what if let's just say there is a guy that comes into our I'm gonna say our store. We don't have a fucking store. If there's a driver that comes into our company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's a young guy, or maybe he could be older. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Would you feel comfortable enough to say like, man, that's a good looking guy. That's an attractive guy, out loud. Like, I know you wouldn't, like, just go out and say it, but if you were, like, if I was like, oh, shit, who's that? You know, like.
Apparently, you don't know me very well.
And I'm like, hey, Ricardo.
Dude, see how hot that guy is? Now, see, I think I would if it was, in, like, a ridiculous kind of way. Like, if it was, like. If it's undeniable that he is an attractive individual,
okay,
like it's guaranteed that he will turn everybody's head. Yes, I will have no doubt saying that dude's hot. I mean, Hands down. Because, like, I think people like that, it's just recognizable, whether it's male or female. Like, even even women who are, in a sense, gorgeous, other women say, she is beautiful. Like, hands down, you know? So if I see a guy who it just fits that category of being that attractive, I have no problem saying that.
Okay. Now, what would you consider an attractive guy? Like a super muscular guy, just so very well put together?
We're getting we're heading in a weird direction here, Ricardo.
I want to know what turns you on. What?
This is getting weird.
Oh, shit. Go ahead.
I don't even have an answer.
It sounds like you're afraid.
Well,
it's
your masculinity. Well, it's just something I've never honestly, like, a movie that honestly made me like feel bad about my masculinity was the movie 300.
Really?
With Gerard Butler, where everybody is fucking cut like you wouldn't believe, and they're all badasses who can fucking handle any business they want. That made me feel terrible about myself. I mean, it was a great movie, don't get me wrong, but at the end of it I was like, okay, I'm gonna go home.
You felt like the Hunchback.
Yes. It but see, the thing is, I think like with a movie like that, I think they do that on purpose because they wanted to show that they were in fact the superior warriors.
Right.
Where they had essentially the body to back up their badassery. Yeah.
It's kind of funny you mentioned that because I was thinking that kind of on the same topic is that there's a guy, I don't know why, there's a guy that I met in college where he was, it was actually my public speaking class. Yeah. And it was really weird because it was one of the classes that I dreaded the most because I hate speaking in public. But for some odd reason, we got close as a class. And just thinking back, I think to me, it was just like one of the funnest classes that I took.
Mm-hmm.
And one time we somehow started talking about like our crushes, like man crush. I'm just like, I mean, I had a man crush, but not a man crush. Like, there's an actor, like, oh, that's a good looking guy. You know, I've never had a problem saying, like, you know, that's, hey, that guy's, you know, to me, he's an attractive guy, but not in a sexual way. Just kind of saying, like, you know, if I was on that other side or if I was that, I mean, you know, that'd be my first choice.
Well, who was it?
Well, let me get to that one. Something else.
Okay.
The guy that was telling me, we're still Facebook friends until this point, and he said that his man crush was the guy, the main character from 300, which is kind of the funny thing. I was like, oh, okay, I could see that. You know, they're all super cut. Yeah. I don't like his face too much, but his body is definitely super cut though. So yeah. But
well, I'm glad you have standards. I do have
standards, Scott. Okay. Who would I choose as my man crush? I've always said this, and I can't say his name very well, but Channing Tatum. Well, how do you say his name?
I don't know how to say his name either, but I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about.
Never say his fucking name. From fucking.
Oh my god.
Channing Tatum.
Come on, you can do it. I believe in you.
I can't say his name.
I believe in you.
Why can't you just have a regular fucking name like Bob?
Like what? Like Bob?
Like Bob. Tanum. Can you help me out here?
Dude, I can't even say his name, but I know who you're talking about, though. I
mean, from what movie is he from?
He was in Magic Mike.
That's... I didn't see that movie.
He was in a movie where he danced.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but...
Fuck, what was it? He was... do you know who Gambit is? And considering the X-Men?
Yeah.
He was supposed to play Gambit. Like, he was supposed to have his own standalone movie as Gambit. But they've been pushing that shit out for years.
But. I'm trying to remember the movie he did with where he was a cop. I can't remember. With
with Jonah Hill. What?
Step Up? Step Up?
No, not Step Up. I think that's a dance movie. Street. It's something Street.
You say Street?
We don't know names.
It's horrible. But yeah, he would probably be my number one.
Gotcha. What was your what's your number two?
I never thought about number two. Yeah, I don't have a number two.
I gotcha.
Yeah. No, I came across this topic just because I was hearing somebody talk, like, man, he's like, quite honestly, I'm borderline gay. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm borderline gay. And he's not really gay, he's, you know, but it was just kinda funny the way he said it. I was just like, damn, like that though?
Alright.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Shit. That's funny.
Yeah, I never had a problem like being super open to like saying like somebody's a good looking guy. Even like at work, if somebody like, oh yeah, he's a good looking guy, you know. I could see how women could be attracted to him.
Right.
Like I'm not attracted to guys, but you know, I can see how. Now the funny thing is, I just thought of this. Furby told me that how most guys will say that they can't say like that a guy's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But when a guy says, yo, that guy is fucking ugly, then automatically you're scoring this guy, knowing that. So if you think he's ugly, then what's pretty? What's a pretty guy look like, you know?
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Did you ever think that maybe they're calling him ugly because they are making him feel insecure about his own appearance?
No, I think it's more... No, because I think that there are some guys that are very less attractive.
Right.
But it's easier for a guy to say that guy is ugly. But how do you know if he's ugly? What type of guy looks pretty?
I was about to say, if you can say a guy is ugly, if you're a guy and you can say that guy is ugly, then at some point in your mind, you made the scale of what's ugly and what's attractive.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Because you might not be able to say that he's attractive out loud, but I think in your mind, I think you are.
You know it. You know.
Yeah. See how your mind just. Yeah, it was. So, because like I said before, we in this podcast we want to leave the listeners with some knowledgeable facts, right? And when we speak about relationships, let me give you some facts, Mr. Josh.
Okay.
Did you know that seahorses are monogamous and mate for life?
I didn't know that.
So, do you know what monogamous? Monogamous? For the people who don't speak English very well, like myself, monogamous is a meaning that you only have one mate or one type of one spouse, one partner, one fuck buddy for life.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Monogamous?
Yeah.
But I can barely say it in English, so I don't know.
Oh, come on. Isn't Spanish your first language?
It is, but not right now. I wouldn't know how to say it.
Eh?
So I've been watching a lot of YouTubers in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are like really like, so these are Mexican YouTubers that live in Mexico, right? And are like actually went through the whole school system and they actually went to college and shit like that. But they be using some very technical Spanish. I'm just like,
what's an example of technical Spanish?
Bro, I was just listening. earlier today. I just can't remember what it was. He used a word, but I was just like, I don't know what the fuck that is. I really don't. It was a way to. He lived in Mexico City, I think. So, and he was trying to show how to plant a little garden in your patio or like your apartment.
Right.
And he used some words like had like the whole decomposing work and shit like that. You know, like throwing like banana peels and coffee grinds and shit like that. How it becomes organic fertilizer, and he started using some fancy words. I'm just like, huh? I don't know what that means. Yeah.
Nice.
you know what else I was watching a lot over my quarantine break? I was watching a lot of polygamists. A lot of what are those called?
Mormons?
yes. So did you know that the whole story behind Mormons in a nutshell, right? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you're more Christian than I am, but so did you know that Mormon, one of the reasons that a lot of them are monogamous is because there's a verse in the Bible where it says something about to the whole fact of like have more wives or else you can't get into heaven. I can't remember the exact. I mean, I'm just like verbatim. Like I don't know.
I think that might be in the like the Mormon Bible.
Okay, aren't they all the same?
No. No, okay. They are not the same.
I'll find that chapter and verse, and I'll show you where it's at. Leviticus, is that? I heard Leviticus a lot. Is that a Christian thing?
Okay. From what I have gathered in my experience of experiencing other people's religions.
Okay.
When it comes to their Bible-esque text, as whether they use what they consider a Bible or not, there are books with inside the Bible that have the same names as other religions but that doesn't necessarily make it the same thing.
Okay.
Now, personal opinion is I think that was done with some of these religions at a particular time where religion was up in the air and it was a means of converting. Because when you go from one religion to another, and if it's an extreme change, having something that feels normal or feels like something you already know makes that transition easier.
Right.
But even though if some of the names and stuff, even some of the details in it might be very similar, what change or what makes the difference are very particular key. I'm going to use a dangerous word. Key facts. Compared to ideologies or theologies and stuff like that.
Okay.
So.
So I was talking to this one person that they're. This is the first time I actually met somebody that was like that considered themselves like straight up atheists, and I just to me that was kind of like mind blowing because like I was telling them I'm like. I am Catholic by nature, by practice, by birth, I guess. Now, do I consider myself Catholic? I do, but I consider myself more like what they call the agnostic part, where like my understanding of it is like you do practice Catholicism, but it's more like you pick and I don't want to say you pick and choose, but there's a lot of stuff that you kind of don't believe in. But to actually find somebody that's like that really considers himself atheist, mm-hmm. to me was like, whoa, that's crazy. Because I was telling them, I was like, there's a lot of stuff that I just kind of ignore. But in my back of my mind, a good example that I told them, I was like, on Fridays for Lent, we can't eat meat, red meat on Fridays for Lent. I was like, and sometimes I forget about it, but then like, then I say I don't care, but at the very end, like, there's a little thing in the back of my mind where, like, ooh, you're doing something wrong. It's like my little conscience kicks in, my little Catholic conscience kicks in. I'm just like, I think it's kind of weird. It's a little funny, but it's really weird. So yeah, the whole monogamous, the polygamous, I would say, like, one of them was really weird. Like, it just, he had 5 wives or something like that, 5-6 wives, and like one of them was like, yeah, so one of them, which is not that much, but they had
five isn't that much.
No, that's really not that many.
Yeah.
So he had the really weird thing is that he had met his, I think it might have been like his third wife or something like that, and then he married his third wife's daughter. Yeah, it was really weird. So she became like the fourth, and then like, and then he got a pair of sisters that they literally became sister wives. So, it was really weird. It's just like, and then a lot of these like were super young too, which I don't understand how, you know, how I forgot why he said it wasn't a huge problem or something like that. It's just like he always kept saying that was God's, you know, divinion, devotion, or
hey, that's one thing I've always had an issue with religion, and not even necessarily specific religions, just religion as a whole. How, like, whatever religion you believe in, there is some kind of text that you read through, and, you know, Christianity and Catholics use the Bible, and, you know, whatever. And the fact that people take stuff out of context to justify terrible behavior.
Right.
Is one thing that always infuriates me about organized religion. Mm-hmm. And when people do things like that, where they marry somebody very young and they say, well, my religion says I can do that. And it's like, sure, buddy.
Yeah, that's kind of... That's one of the things that was really weird for him. Like, he was dumb, because he's like, so he wanted to, at the very end, he said he wanted to just, you know, be able to live his life, you know, with his wife. I think they had like 29 kids or something like that. It was something ridiculous. It was like, so they ended up they were living like in somewhere in like Nevada or something like that.
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, no, it wasn't Salt Lake City. It was Colorado, actually. I don't know, somewhere out there, like the middle of nowhere, pretty much. It was like a desert, right? And so what he was saying is like, I just want to be able to live in peace. Like, I'm not hurting anybody. I got my wives and my kids. I love my kids. And now, in his defense, he did look like he legit loved his kids. Like, he looked like he was kind of taking care of them, and just like, you can tell at least during those clips that he was actually like had a little bond with just about all his kids and shit. Like, it was really weird how that worked out. But at the same time, he was dumb, because he came on in the documentary and kind of wanted to like shed light on polygamy as not being that bad. Well, what happened is like the prosecutor, the detective, he's like, well, for being somebody that wants to live in peace, you know, living your religion, you kind of mess it up for yourself, because you came and shed some light on your lifestyle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't necessarily disagree with your lifestyle, but I do have a law I do follow the laws, and if I can find a way to prosecute you, I will prosecute you. So he literally sat down with them and said, like, hey, I'm not judging your lifestyle based on my own religion, based on my own interpretations.
Right.
What I'm simply doing is I'm just trying to follow the law. So if I can prosecute you, I will. And he ended up being able to prosecute him. So, yeah.
Jeez.
So he was looking a lot of fucking years. And it was kind of weird because it wasn't necessarily just the fact that he was, like, marrying some of his, younger, like, underage women.
Right.
I guess one of the biggest things that he got him on was the fact that he was marrying more than one person. And I guess he got a special name for that. Mm. And you can't marry more than one person. Right. It's super illegal.
Right.
But he's like, well, technically I'm not married to more than one person. I'm just married to one person. And he's like, well, the way they kind of did it was because after a certain amount of time, it's common law. You become a common law wife or partner.
Right.
So with having more than one common law, it becomes having more than one spouse. So that's how they fucking got him too.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really, really dumb. Like, you know what? For trying to live your life just for yourself and for your religion, you shouldn't have came on the fucking show.
Right.
So, yeah. I might become a polygamist here now in the near future.
Well, I think then you didn't learn anything that dude just said, because you basically just told everybody you're about to break the law.
I won't marry them, though. I won't live with them.
Common law.
No, but common law, I think you had to live with them, though.
How did he live with all of them?
So the way he had it was, so they had trailers, right?
Right.
Like I said, he was literally living in the middle of nowhere. So he had gotten some mobile homes.
Right.
And he had his own mobile home where he had his, like, his, where, you know, the magic happened. And he would, it was kind of like in a circle, right?
Are you there saying was, he had a sex trailer?
I was, yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yep. Right. So somehow he was living with them all, and then just like,
right.
But so I'm not going to live with them. I'm just going to be the provider.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. That's how it's going to go down, man.
Oh, jeez, Opeats. That's too much. Well,
I know. Well, let me leave you with one last happy fact, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that most elephants weigh less than the tongue of a blue whale?
I did not know that.
Yep. Now you know.
Elephants are cool.
Yeah, but they're not that heavy compared to a whale's tongue. A blue whale's tongue.
Yeah, that's possible. Because isn't an elephant, like, physically bigger than a blue whale's tongue?
Well, the blue whale, I'm assuming, is a fucking huge animal.
Yeah.
You said, yeah. I don't know how they... Well, I guess if they end up on shore, did they
cut the tongue out of one and like lay it, you know, across an elephant? Like, here, let's see if we can cover this elephant with this.
No, but it weighs more. That doesn't mean it's necessarily bigger. It weighs more.
So. Oh, it weighs more. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, but I'm assuming it still has to be bigger than the elephant, though.
Not necessarily.
Not vertically, but like. Mass wise, yeah.
Well, density too.
I don't know. You're using big words on me now.
Oh, shit.
Sir. And I think that's all I have.
Alright.
So, I think we should wrap up the episode.
Alright. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 25. Of the Warehouse Rats podcast. Once again, head over to sandhillcoffee.com. Use promo code Warehouse Rats. Get 20% off your whole order. It's good coffee. It's good service. I highly recommend you use it. Enjoy if you use it or not. Even if you don't, go to the website, check out the stuff, hit up their Instagram. The guy Phil, he was on last week. Really cool dude. Give him some love, just something. Let him know that we sent you. So that is it for us tonight. Ricardo, stay healthy, man.
We'll try to, man.
All right.
We'll definitely try to.
That is it for us tonight. We're out.
Peace.